grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just want to welcome you to Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church, or Cook's Church, if you like. We're just delighted that you're here with us as we seek to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth this wonderful and holy evening. I have several announcements to make before we get started, as always. The first relates to our offertory this evening. Our offertory this evening will be for the joy offering. All donations will go toward this offering, unless otherwise designated, that provides assistance to current and retired church workers and their families in their time of need, and develops our future leaders at Presbyterian-related schools and colleges equipping communities of color. So that would be this offering that we'll take up this evening. Also, if you had one of our poinsettias this year and haven't taken it home yet, don't be afraid to. We'd like you to grab your poinsettias and take them home with you so that you can enjoy them as you experience Christmas at home yourself this year. And last, and this is the important one, everyone is invited to join us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We'll be right back here worshiping the Lord, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning, as it is Sunday. A couple more things. First of all, tonight we'll be taking communion through a modified intinction. I say modified because it's not, you're not dipping it in the juice. You're going to come forward, and we're going to give you the elements yourself to take. There are trash cans as you cycle through as you take your communion, and if you want to get rid of your trash, there are trash receptacles on both sides of the sanctuary, so as you come down. Also, we'll be lighting the candles this year, which is always a joy. Just remember that the lit candle stays upright, right? And so what you don't want to be doing is tilting a hot candle, right? Because you know what happens then? The wax, exactly. And we don't want a bunch of wax, right? So allow the person with the lit candle to stay upright, and you just tip your unlit candle into it. That deals with our intinction and with our offering, as well as our candle lighting. Are there any other announcements, though, that need to be brought before the congregation before we begin our time together? Okay, that being the case, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this Christmas Eve.
First, we light the candle for hope because Jesus is our hope. Second, we light the candle for peace because Jesus is our hope and peace. Third, we light the candle for joy because Jesus brings us joy. Fourth, we light the candle for love because Jesus is love. And patience. Finally, we light the center candle. This is the Christ candle. Jesus is born. Jesus has come. Jesus is our salvation. Here is the reading from St. Paul to the Galatians. But when the time has fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law. Galatians 4, verse 4.
Let us pray. Great God of love and light, we thank you now for the light of that special star over 2,000 years ago that guided humble shepherds and learned wise men to the holy babe. Let us now, by the light of your love, that we may also follow you to the new life in him. In celebration of the birthday of our King and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
I invite now those of you who are able to rise and join me in the singing of our first hymn, number 119. Please be seated. We come now into a time of litany in which we'll express our faith using language given to us in the bulletin this morning. Follow along as we participate in this litany for Christmas Eve. Creator God, you opened up the heavens and sent part of yourself down in human form. He was and is Emmanuel, God with us. You sent your angel to speak to Mary and Joseph that she would conceive a miracle child, the Son of God, and that Joseph should take Mary as his wife and name the child Emmanuel, God with us. This is Jesus Christ, who was born in a stable and laid in a manger, whose life was spirit-filled and blameless, who healed the sick and opened his arms to sinners, took upon himself the sins of all humankind, was crucified, died, and is risen. Blessed be Emmanuel, God with us. This Jesus lives and intercedes for his people at the right hand of the Father God, and sent his Holy Son to remain with us. Blessed be the Holy Spirit, and blessed be Emmanuel, God with us. We celebrate and give thanks for Christ's birth, life, death, and resurrection, and we anticipate his return. May your power be perfected in us. May we be a testament to your great love, and may our lives reflect your coming kingdom. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. We come now into a time of reading of Scripture, and before we do so, we, as always, begin with a prayer for illumination. Join me as we pray. Gracious and eternal God, as you are speaking, allow your Spirit to swirl into our hearts and lives, intersecting with us, allowing us to hear the message you would have us hear. Prepare us to make room for you this day. We're making straight the paths of righteousness so that the Prince of Glory might come into our hearts by your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Good evening. I'll be reading from Isaiah 62, 6 through 12. It's on page 740 in your pew Bible. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have set watchmen all the day and all the night. They shall never be silent. You who put the Lord in remembrance, take no rest and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, I will not again give your grain to be food to your enemies, and foreigners shall not drink your wine for which you have labored. But those who garden it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather it shall drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Go through the gates, prepare the way for people, build up the highway, clear the stones, lift up a signal over the peoples. Behold, the Lord is proclaimed to the end of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his response before him. And they shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken.
I'll be reading from Psalm 97. You'll find that on page 592 in your pew Bible. The Lord is King. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his adversaries on every side. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the peoples behold his glory. All worshippers of images are put to shame, those who make their boast in worthless idols. All gods bow down before him. Zion hears and is glad, and the towns of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O God. For you, O Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. The Lord loves those who hate evil. He guards the lives of his faithful. He rescues them from the hand of the wicked. Light dawns for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name.
I invite you now to rise and join me in the singing of two hymns. The first one is number 113.
Strange glory.
You may be seated. Oh, there's one more. Oh, wow. I blew that. 132. Let's stay seated, though, since we're already down. Sorry, guys. Pastors missing hymns. You're going to have to tell us. It must be Christmas. Glad we sang that. The irony is that I asked for more music, right? And I'm just cutting it out.
I'll be reading from Titus 3, 4 through 7, and it can be found on page 1182 in the Pew Bible. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our final reading tonight is from the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading Luke, the second chapter, verses 1 through 20. I invite you now to hear the word of our Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was in the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom He is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, it was while I was preparing for this sermon this past week that I came across an interesting YouTube video of a man, a pastor, Sam, I think is his name, and his little son, Fred. And Sam was explaining how Christmas was going to go this year. And so he said to little Fred, he said, "Fred, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to wake up Christmas morning and we're going to open our presents. And then after we do that, we're going to get dressed and go to church." "Church?" the kid exclaims. "What is this about church?" Well, the father, taken a little bit aback, he's a pastor after all, says to his son, "Well, you know, this is why we have Christmas, because Jesus Christ came to be God with us." And the kid says, yeah, I know that, but what are they doing wrecking my Christmas?" We can kind of understand that feeling. Some of us may even feel it more acutely tomorrow morning when their father looks at them and says, it's time to go to church. We can see that there is a level of disruptiveness that comes into this story. And that's something that we miss quite a bit. It's just how disruptive this story is. You know, we've got a history of smoothing out the rough edges and making everything have a nice and peaceful cast when we think about this Christmas story. It even works its way into our hymnody, for goodness sakes. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Well, it sounds like Jesus would fail an Apgar test, but aside from that, the fact of the matter is, I don't know that cows mooing is going to be that calming a sound to you if you've just given birth in a barn and your baby is sleeping in a manger. You see, we take this Christmas story and we sanitize it just a bit, don't we? Or what about O Little Town of Bethlehem, O Little Town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Well, now, there's lots of things you could say about Bethlehem in this particular time window, but the chances are it was not still. The reason? They had thousands of people coming to be registered. So it's a case that the hymn writer is just putting a nice, peaceful drape over the whole thing. The fact of the matter is that even though Jesus' life came into being on a night where there was very little notice, make no mistake about it, Jesus Christ disrupts all that this universe has and does so in a good way. Because we all know this Jesus Christ, this meek and mild baby, comes into the world and he's going to tell us some amazing things, things that sometimes we don't want to hear if we're honest about it. He tells us to turn the other cheek when we're struck. And I don't know that there's many of us that wouldn't rather say revenge is a dish best served cold and perhaps strike and then ask for forgiveness later on. That's the kind of Jesus that we get. And so too do we hear, pick up your cross and carry me. Now, I got to tell, carry it. It doesn't sound like that great a news when you can have anything in this world ordered and delivered by Amazon by 7:30 tomorrow morning. And that counts tomorrow morning, I think, too, if you've got stuff coming via Amazon. The fact of the matter is that this Jesus Christ is disruptive and does change the way that we look at the world. He is a big disruption. And there are, as we all know, unfortunate disruptions in our lives. I encountered one the other day, even though Johnny told me that the road heading to Mount Holly was terribly snarled, I decided at the end of my workday that that was the very road that I would take home. Yeah, everybody's smiling at that. Unfortunately, that road was closed entirely with no detour markers. I ended up seeing the better half of Gaston County and northern Mecklenburg County trying to find out how to get home from from the church. It was a terrible disruption and one that I'm sure I would not want to relive. But life foists upon us unfortunate disruptions at times, and there's nothing that we can do about them. One of the things that happened to a good friend of mine this year is that his sister passed away after a really brief battle with pancreatic cancer. She passed away, and now my friend is left to struggle with the first holiday season apart from his beloved sister. And so it's the kind of disruption that none of us want, but unfortunately we all get from time to time. And there is just a great slice of good news in this, in that in Jesus Christ's incarnation, we no longer have to worry about, does God know how I feel? Because one of the stories that we get in the Gospel of John is Jesus Christ mourning the loss of his friend Lazarus and feeling great sorrow at his passing. And so what we can say to my friend and what we can say to anyone who loses is that the Lord knows your pain. There is something in the Almighty God that understands and can take those unwelcome, unwanted disruptions from the world and then, by the power of the Holy Spirit, morph them into something different and better. We know that Joseph would have experienced a measure of uncomfortability, of disruption foisted into his life at this time of year. To begin with, as we all know, Mary is pregnant, but by all accounts, not by Joseph. This would have been a huge scandal. It would be a scandal today, was even more magnified so at the time. And so what we know about Joseph, we can say very clearly, is that he had a humble and a kind heart. Because under the law at the time, Joseph would have had the remedy of having his wife stoned to death. So this unwelcome disruption sees him in this other town with a pregnant wife that, as I said, Joseph knows he's not the father of. That's bad enough, but then having to travel to this other town to go to Bethlehem for a census was certainly no good either. One of the things you can say is whenever governments want to take a census of their people, it's very seldom that the people are what's going to be benefited. More often than not, what's being found out is just exactly how many tax dollars can be collected. So you can see for Joseph, this trip to Bethlehem was by no means something welcome. Then we can also extrapolate that there must have been family problems as well, because Joseph's entire family would have been theoretically there in Bethlehem to be registered, and yet no one has an extra room to spare for the pregnant woman. Well, it could be the case that the family was on the outs with Joseph and Mary because of her pregnancy. So we can recognize that there are unwelcome disruptions into our life, and that's why the incarnation that we celebrate tonight is even sweeter news. It's even better. Yes, we have a God that can sympathize with us in our weakness and in our temptations. Yes, we have a God that can be with us as we struggle in sorrow and in loss. And yes, we have a Savior. That's the great good news of this Christmas season, is that God heard the lonely cries of his people in sin and did something about it. Sending Jesus Christ into the world, Jesus was able to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. He was able to take upon himself the penalty for sin, and he died for us and for our salvation. We know in this Christmas season that one of the big disruptions in our lives is that God has given us a Savior in Jesus Christ, and to that end, our lives are going to change. I ran across a great quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer that I'll read to you. Jesus came to disrupt our plans. He came to wreck our selfishness and narcissism so that we might be able to love God and others and to receive that love in return. He came to wreck our fear of death so that we might be able to live more fully and freely in this life. He came to wreck the political systems which chose who is in and who is out, so that all of God's children could be included in the kingdom. He came down to break down our tendency of tribalism, putting one group against the other. He came to break down our economy of values and build a different one based on valuing the eternal rather than things that pass away. He came to break down our ideas of family and to embrace a wider vision of what that is, which includes all people, not just the ones like us. Yes, he came to wreck every structure we try to build, which puts us first at the expense of everyone else. And he would later tell his followers he came not to serve, to be served, but to serve. And he calls us to follow in his path. You see, Jesus Christ is a good disruption of the highest order. We gain a Savior, we gain somebody that can understand us in our weakness, and we gain power. Because Jesus does not leave us alone. In fact, what the scriptures tell us is that in his absence, the Holy Spirit is with us no further away than our next breath. In our hearts, our very hearts, is where the Holy Spirit delivers Jesus. Fortunately, this Jesus Christ, this good disruptor, does some good things. I saw it in this last Kairos, where we met a man who, from the very outset, looked to be a little jumpy. He was always scanning the doors, looking for the exit. Wondering, and it was so uncomfortable, we began to wonder if he was in some danger. But as the week went on and the cookies and the tang and the table talks began to do their magic, we began to see this man named Eddie loosen and a laugh start coming to his voice. It was only at the end that Eddie confided that he was planning and plotting a very desperate act before he had come to Kairos, and it was in the awareness that Jesus Christ was with him and that he had brothers that he was able to change what he was doing and did not see any problems. Yes, Jesus Christ can come like a disruption in a positive way and change us and move us from the bad things that we would do and moves us into the good things that we can do. It was in my last congregation I got to know a man named Tim. Now, Tim was still suspicious to some of the elderly people there in Mount Holly because they could look back years into the past and remember Tim when he was struggling with booze and in a biking gang and not so kind to his wife. But what had happened was that at a certain point in time, Tim was invited to come to the First Presbyterian Church in Mount Holly there, and he went and was changed. He met a man there that was teaching a Bible study class, and he told them it was time for him to retire and that the next plan would be that Tim would be the teacher. Tim lived up to that calling like you wouldn't believe, and when I arrived at that church, he had been teaching that men's Bible study for about 25 years. 25 years Tim had taught that Bible study. And one of the things that Paul would say is if you had that ability or that gift but didn't have love, you wouldn't have a whole lot. But fortunately, God had shared with him an amazing measure of love so that he was always helping other people. He ran a local business. And I dare say that if you had a problem, you knew where Tim was because Tim would help you fix it. He was just that kind of guy. It's the kind of love that Jesus Christ shares with us that is made incarnate this night so many years ago. We're fortunate that Jesus Christ has done this heavy lifting for us so that we can know with certainty that we are God's and we'll be with him forever and ever. And when we really get the Spirit, when we really see how much our lives have been disrupted for the better, it can have an amazing impact on the people around us. Paul Harvey years ago told the story of a monastery in Russia that was dying. It was down to just seven brothers, and in the seven, with their worry about whether their order would stay in business, had taken to bickering with one another and really letting the place fall into a ramshackle. It was at this point where the father of the prior of the monks suggested that they send an emissary to a known spiritual guru, a guide, a priest in the area. And so they sent one of their midst out to this particular priest that lived outside of a town. And his place looked a little run down and not so good for the wear. And the two brothers confided that things were difficult, that there wasn't much going on. The priest said that not many people of the town were coming to him anymore either. And the two commiserated, and there wasn't much in way of the answer. But as the men grabbed hold of each other and embraced to go home, the priest, the spiritual wise one, said, "Well, just so you know, Jesus is with you in your struggles." But you know how something is meant in a figurative way but gets taken literally. That's exactly what happened. So this brother went back to his monastery wondering, which one of my brothers is Jesus? And he shared with the entire community that Jesus was among them. Well, a newfound respect and love began to take up and go over the members of the order. And in fact, their love became for one another became so strong and resonant that soon others were attracted to come to the monastery and learn what the gift these people had was. And the only gift they had was the strong and potent awareness that Jesus Christ is in our midst and is so by what happened this night so many years ago, that God took flesh and loves us enough to be in this world with us. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of communion as we prepare our hearts and minds for the sacrament, this visible symbol of an invisible grace that we get in the sacrament of the Lord's table. Let us pray. O Lord and God, you are the creator and ruler of this universe. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. You formed us in your image, setting us in this world to love and to serve you and to live in peace with your whole creation. When we rebelled against you, refusing to trust and obey you, you did not reject us, but still claimed us as your own. You sent prophets to call us back to your way. Then, in the fullness of time, out of your great love for the world, you sent your only Son to be one of us, to redeem us and to heal our brokenness. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the choirs of angels and prophets and apostles and martyrs. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. In Jesus, born of Mary, your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. He lived as one of us, knowing joy and sorrow. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, opened blind eyes, broke bread with outcasts and sinners, and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and needy. Dying on the cross, he gave himself for the life of the world. Rising from the grave, he won for us victory over death. Seated at your right hand, he leads us to life eternal. We praise you that Jesus Christ now reigns with you in glory and will come again to make all things new. Remembering your gracious act in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Gracious God, all things are yours, and indeed to you alone belong all honor and power and glory. We pray that you pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and juice, and making that the bread that we break and the cup that we bless might be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in this world. In union with your church in heaven and on earth, we pray, O God, that you would fulfill your eternal purpose in us and in all the world. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Through Jesus Christ, with Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever, we conclude this prayer praying the one the Lord taught us praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. On the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke the bread, giving it to the disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Every time you drink of this, do this in remembrance of me. Friends, every time we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the saving death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, until he comes again in glory. So I invite you now to come and taste and see the Lord is good. If the ushers could come. We also have gluten. I forgot to mention we have gluten-free bread. If you would prefer gluten-free, that would be, would just ask us for it. Oh, come forward. Yeah, thank you. We come now into a time of preparing for offering our gifts, and we do so remembering that God loves a cheerful giver. And so as our ushers get ready, God loves a cheerful giver. Gracious God, we thank you that you're a provident God and that you provide for us in all the seasons of our lives. Now, as we return a portion of those blessings back to you, we just pray that you would use it to do your work in this, your wonderful world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please remain standing as we'll begin our singing of Silent Night momentarily. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day, this wonderful and holiest of nights, and all the days of our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.